Welcome to the deep dive. When your phone forces that software update overnight?
Oh, yeah, and you wake up and the interface is completely different.
Exactly. Well, today we are looking at the legal equivalent of that for an entire government agency. Our mission here is to give you a concise overview and summary of a brief, but honestly, a pretty pivotal administrative document.
Right. It is South African Proclamation number R3, which was published in the Government Gazette on January 31st, 2003.
Yeah, and it is a bilingual declaration, so it is printed in both English and Afrikaans, signed by President T.M. Mbeki and Cabinet Minister G.J. Frazier-Moleketi. And basically, it acts as the official start button for this new IT legislation governing the State Information Technology Agency, or SITA.
Which is a huge deal because, to give you some context on why that matters, the SITA Amendment Act of 2002 was designed to completely overhaul how the government managed its technology and procurement. But, passing a law and actually turning it on are two very different things. And the timeline on this document is really what makes it such a fascinating piece of administrative history.
Okay, let's unpack this timeline because it moves fast.
Extremely fast. It was signed in Pretoria on January 30th, published on the 31st, and then legally active the very next day on February 1st.
Wait, I really have to push back on that process for a second. If Parliament passed the SITA Amendment Act in 2002, why wouldn't they just write the activation date directly into the law itself?
Well, yeah, that seems logical.
Why leave it up to a random presidential proclamation a year later, giving the agency literally a mere 24 hours of notice to adapt? It seems like pushing a massive terms of service update with zero warning.
What's fascinating here is that, well, it is a fair question, but writing a hard date into the initial bill is often a recipe for absolute disaster.
Really? How so?
Because when Parliament passes a massive overhaul of government IT, the administrative infrastructure usually is just not ready on day one.
Oh, so they need a buffer period.
Exactly. By separating the passage of the law from its actual activation, the executive branch gets to decide exactly when the system is prepared to handle the new rules. But they can't just do that on a whim, you know?
Right, there has to be a mechanism.
Yeah, to activate this 2002 law, the president had to formally invoke powers using a much older foundational text, specifically Section 13(3) of the Interpretation Act of 1957.
Okay, I am completely lost here. Why on earth does a 2003 government IT overhaul require a legal manual from 1957 to boot up?
I know it sounds crazy, but the 1957 Interpretation Act is essentially the South African government's master instruction manual.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it dictates the exact legal mechanics for how literally any law in the country is allowed to come into force. It ensures that when the president hits that start button we talked about, it is done legally, publicly, and on the record.
So without checking the boxes in that 1957 Act, the 2003 IT update just has no legal authority?
Spot on. It would be completely invalid.
Okay, that makes sense. But here's where it gets really interesting to me. Looking at the summary of the document itself, they didn't just turn on the entire 2002 SITA Amendment Act. They went in with an absolute scalpel.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, the proclamation explicitly activates only certain pieces, like sections 2A, 3, 6, 7, 10, 11.
And it gets even more granular than that.
Right. They even include this hyper-specific carve-out where section 12B is only activated insofar as it inserts a new subsection 3B into an even older 1998 SITA Act. Why such piecemeal surgical activation instead of just flipping a single switch for the whole 2002 Act at once?
Well, think of it like opening a massive new hospital.
Okay.
You don't just unlock all the doors on day one and hope for the best.
Chaos. Total chaos.
Exactly. You activate the emergency room first, you make sure the power holds, and then maybe you open the surgical wing weeks later to ensure the system doesn't crash from, like, a sudden influx of patients.
Ah, so this document does exactly that for government IT.
Yes. Those specific sections and subsections represent the exact structural updates the agency was actually equipped to enforce that February.
So activating the rest of the law prematurely could have created immediate legal loopholes or, systemic failures.
Precisely. It demonstrates the really intricate phased reality of implementing state bureaucracy.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
It is a great question.
Well, it's because this is a perfect microexample of how the gears of the state actually operate. We read headlines all the time about sweeping legal overhauls, but in reality, those changes are actually built on meticulous, scheduled activations of very specific lines of code in the legal framework.
It really takes extreme precision to govern.
It does.
And, this raises an important question. Looking at this document leaves a glaring negative space.
What do you mean?
Well, since this proclamation precisely itemizes exactly which sections of the act to turn on that February morning, it makes you wonder what was hidden in the rest of that 2002 Amendment Act that the government intentionally chose to leave dormant. What administrative rules were they simply not ready to execute?
Yeah, that is a really good point. The real power isn't just in what gets updated, but in what gets left pending in the queue. Definitely something for you to think about the next time you see a massive legal change making the news.